This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we kick off hour number two, telling you a former Commander/Redskin, because he was a Redskin, and he was a Washington football teamer. He played for all three team names. Has landed a new deal. And this one was a little bit surprising based on the terms. And the Commandalorians are working out, visiting with a former Cowboy wide receiver today. Details on all that coming up. But AMAC says he's got some good sound. Right, this is from the Pat McAfee Show. Before we get back to the calls, DC, I'm coming at you. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. This is from the Pat McAfee Show, and this is what? Pat and Ian Rappaport talking about Laramie Tunsil, is that right?
Yeah, so we have Rappaport talking, them asking questions about, like, why they got rid of Laramie in Houston, and then kind of the guys reacting and a little bit more of Rappaport talking.
All right, let's hear from it. Hopefully.
Yeah, let's wait on that.
All right. Let's wait on that. Why don't we? Here's one thing we haven't gotten to yet. Laramie Tunsil led the NFL in penalties last year. Now, some of you are going to just dismiss that as being, oh, he was with a terrible offensive line and a terrible offensive coordinator. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Some of that, as it's been explained to me, is a lack of discipline, and not only a lack of discipline, but it's like an overinflated evaluation of yourself. He had 19 called penalties against him last year. Laramie Tunsil, 19. I did this breakdown yesterday on Twitter, X, whatever. And listen, 12 false starts don't hurt you, with the exception of the 5 yards associated with it. And because if you false start, essentially the play is dead. You don't know what the play was going to turn out to be. But maybe you had such an advantageous matchup that you thought, oh my gosh, if you hit this, it's going to change the game around, right? So it can hurt you. It can hurt you. Not to mention if it's 3rd and 1, right, at the 4-yard line, and you can maybe score, you can get a first down and set you up 1st and goal, and maybe it's a game-tying score, maybe it's a go-ahead score, maybe it's a game-sealing score, whatever the case might be. It could obviously put you from 3rd and 1 to 3rd and 6 in a hurry, and then that immediately changes everything. That being said, he played in all 17 games last year, plus the 2 playoff games. Again, 19 penalties in 17 regular season games, because I think the numbers from NFLpenalties.com were just regular season stats. You know, that's annoying, That's too much. That led the NFL by, I think, 3 total penalties count. But the bottom line is this. As long as they happen, like, not every penalty is the same, right? If a penalty happens in a 30-7 game in which you're leading, or maybe you're even down, not that big of a deal, right? Not that big of a deal. If a penalty happens again in a 17-14 game, you're trailing. It's, again, 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2. You're inside the 5-yard line. You're trying to get either a first down or the go-ahead score. Or maybe it's the game-tying score, depending on the score. You know, that's different. So not every penalty is the same. What I don't have is when and where those. I would have to track when and where those penalties were. But it's not exactly an encouraging sign. Like, Laremy Tunsil's got some things that he's got to work on to take another step in his career and to be really, really, really good here. It's not just about pass protection. It's about run blocking. It's about discipline. It's about work ethic. It's about fitting in. He's got a bunch of things he's got to check off. Here's Rappaport with McAfee and I guess the crew that they have there talking about why Houston gave up on Laremy Tunsil and how he wound up with the Commanders. False start on Laremy Tunsil is 13th of the year. All right. We'll have to try and figure this out. Because we're 0-2, and now it's first and 20, as opposed to 1st and 10. So anyway, the bottom line is, you know, again, Tunsil is going to have to get better at run blocking, and have to get better and more disciplined, because, and somebody said, no big deal. What's the big deal? Again, it is a big deal if the penalties happen at the wrong time. It is a big deal. And for anybody to think that it's not shows you don't have very much football acumen. But again, there is a difference between taking a false start when it's 30-7 as opposed to when it's 17-14 and you're in a tight yardage and distance spot, right? So I'm going to have to go back and see, okay, when were those penalties and what sequences were they in? And here the question is, does he have to be a leader? And for me, the answer is probably not. I mean, Jaden is already a cool leader. Terry McLaurin is very much a leader. Zach Ertz is very much a leader. But he doesn't even have to be a leader in the offensive line room. That's Tyler Biadasz. That's Sam Cosmi when he's back. Right? That's those guys. Laremy Tunsil doesn't necessarily have to be a leader just because he's the most talented guy. So maybe, you know, that's been another part, little part of the criticism about Tunsil is, you know, maybe he brought people down a little bit by his lack of, like, he was really liked, right? Not a bad guy, just maybe not the hardest worker in the world. Maybe not the most serious of dudes in the world. Maybe not balls to the wall kind of mentality. I mean, maybe coming here, again, elevates him another step. We'll see. We'll see. Not everybody works their ass off. We know this. And you can have success in football, in radio, in whatever, without working your ass off. You can have success. All right, let's get to D.C. and Calvert while we try and sort out the sound situation. D.C., thanks for hanging in there, pal. How are you?
I'm excellent, Russell, man. I'm going to surprise you today.
Okay.
I was agreeing with you all the way up until you talked about how we won last year. I'm going to address that first, and then I'm going to address the offseason. So you said we had fluky wins or got lucky, but if you prepare from June or May to play 60-minute games with a mentality to play 60 minutes, not just physically, but you can win with a Hail Mary because you don't have your corner or safety taunting the crowd and not paying attention, and you don't have a lineman, instead of him trying to get a holding call falling on the ground and trying to get the quarterback, because you know this quarterback is scrambled, you prepare for those situations, and that's why you win. And we even lost that way, too, because other teams prepare that way.
DC, so I think that's a more than fair point. But you would give me, right, that normally you don't win games on Hail Marys the way they won the Bears game. Normally, you don't commit six turnovers and score 36 points and win a game against the Super Bowl champions, right? I mean, those just a couple of examples.
But we also played hard, and the quarterback got knocked out of the game.
Understood. Like, understood.
I agree that you don't normally do that way. But if you think about the best to ever do things, they do things abnormally because they prepare themselves in that manner.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay. I would just say it's probably a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, right?
Right.
It's not fair, and I fought against people all year. It's not fair to say that they only won because of smoke and mirrors or luck or this or that or whatever.
Right.
But I can't deny, and this is true for every good team. I truly believe this.
Mm-hmm.
There's luck involved. There's good fortune involved in every championship team, in every contending championship team. Now, it varies.
There you go.
And it depends on your perspective. But I think it's fair to say that they had some good fortune. Now, what your point is they prepared, they worked their ass off, they put themselves in position. All of that can be correct and is correct. My point is now against tougher competition with a bigger bullseye on your back, more home road games than home games, all of that, right? That you might not win 12 games, but if you win 11 games, say, you could be actually a better team than you were that won 12 games. So I think that's fair.
This is true. This is true. As far as the off-season moves, what I agree with you on is their adaptation to things. Even from last year, drafting players, and letting go 50% or more of the roster and bringing in new players, even on one-year deals, just to see how they'll play in our system. Do they still have the ability to play the way they played? And now we went to the NFC Championship, and we have a quarterback that prepares himself every week, even in the offseason, to be a champion. You go out and build a roster with a championship in mindset. So you have to get more savvy players that's ready, that aren't so much in the learning process. This offseason, the veterans come in, they already know what to do. A rookie has to come in and learn how to become a pro, as well as learn the playbook and all these things. Now, what you can do, it helps us even more to draft the best talent available, because we're not looking for our 29th pick in the draft to come in and play like Myles Garrett. We're looking for him to come in, learn how to set the edge, and get to the quarterback.
Yep.
And, you know, these things, even though we still need to get the DN, I use that as an example, we still need to get another DN. But I like what we're doing this offseason, because we're picking players and trading for players that will help us win now and lower our cap in doing so, because a lot of these guys aren't better than the guys we had. But if their production level is close to or similar to, you're paying them less money. Now we can make these trades to get a starting left tackle and make the trade to get a great utility wide receiver player. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. As always, strong call. Thank you, DC. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Robbie.
As always, good to hear from you. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to swing one more time. AMAC thinks he's got technology and our wackadoo system figured out. Hopefully, this will work. Rappaport, Pat McAfee, McAfee Show, ESPN. I'm curious that Rappaport is back on the McAfee Show because I think that's the first time since they went to ESPN that I've seen him. He used to be on there all the time. Interesting. And you know there's all sorts of rumors about an ESPN-NFL network merger type thing. So that's interesting. But here's, we think, we hope, McAfee and Rappaport talking about Tunsil from Houston to Washington. All right, so that's Rappaport with McAfee talking about why Tunsil. Listen, I teased this earlier, did not deliver. That's my fault. Didn't do a good job as a radio host. The reason why we all should have like kind of been like wondering if Tunsil was a play was because they struck out on Ronnie Stanley. And you heard the Pittsburgh offensive tackle, Dan Moore, who I think went to Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. They had interest in him, but apparently they were really interested in Ronnie Stanley. And I didn't quite get the fascination there because Ronnie Stanley's hurt a lot. And he's 31, and, you know, I just didn't understand exactly that, but that's my fault for kind of underselling it. But I will say this, right? He just signed a new deal to stay in Baltimore. He gets 3 years. His cap number is only $5.8 million this year. $9.9 million next year, and this is Ronnie Stanley, and a little over $24 million in 2027, and then there's void years in the deal in which you carry a bunch of dead money and whatever. So he only got a three-year deal to stay in Baltimore. Now, I don't know if he would have taken a three-year deal here, or if that was just, hey, I want to stay in Baltimore, I'll do what you guys want me to do, you know, within reason. So I don't know if that's all it would have cost them. But 3 years, $60 million essentially, with, again, void years built in and dead money that they'll have to take on and so forth. But Ronnie Stanley, okay, is 31 years old. And Ronnie Stanley has, again, an injury history. Now, he played in all 17 games last year, but 13 the year before that, 11 the year before that, only one the year before that, six the year before that. 14 in 2019. I mean, period. So if you said to me, okay, I can get you Ronnie Stanley, 3 years, $60 million, assuming that's what it would have cost the Commanders because that's what he signed for in Baltimore. But again, that could be a discount to stay in Baltimore. Or I get you Laremy Tunsil, same age, 2 years, $42 million right now on paper. And again, I understand he's going to probably want an extension. But 17 games played, really 19 games, including the playoffs. 14 games in 2023. 17 games in 2022. Only five in 2021. 14 in each of 2020 and 2019. You know, I mean, it's not like he's played every game. But for the most part, he's been healthy. He's a game here, a game there. That's going to happen. It's a physical position, what have you. For the most part, he's been healthy compared to Ronnie Stanley. So if you're saying age the same, if you're saying contract right now, actually a little bit more favorable towards Washington. But you got to give up a net total of three draft picks. You know, again, I'm sure that's why they went after Ronnie Stanley first. And maybe they would have gone after, again, Dan Moore, and they did, and they just didn't feel comfortable paying him. I think he got like $25 million a year or something like that, $24 million a year. You know, so they clearly had a priority list of left tackles that they had graded and that were potentially available, and maybe they had a pre-conversation with Houston and Caserio before Monday and had the framework of a deal worked out in case they couldn't get Ronnie Stanley or whoever, the other kid. And that made the deal easier to happen. We should have been more dialed in on this, and I'll just say from my end, not that I didn't think it was a possibility that they could move Coleman from left tackle inside. Of course I thought that. But I thought they would be more aggressive in the guard market than in the tackle market. But instead, they looked at it as we can make guard and tackle better. And it's hard to argue with that. 24 minutes after the hour on the Team 980, more of your calls coming up. Plus, we have another little bit of sound, right? Or no, that's it? That's okay. We will get to some other things as well. I want to spend a little time on the Commanders that were lost over the last day or so in free agency, and still what's ahead out there on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, coming up, a veteran quarterback with a new home. Details on that in a sec, plus a big trade, and Jonathan Allen has a new home as well. I wanted to spend a moment before the bottom of the hour trending alert by this, something I forgot to get to. Michael Gallup working out, meeting with the Commanders today. Visiting, I guess. The obvious connection is Dan Quinn and I guess Joe Witt and whoever with the Cowboys when he was there. Michael Gallup has never been the same since signing a huge deal. I think it was like a 5-year deal and he blew out his ACL. I think he blew out his ACL actually first. Trying to remember the timeline on that. But he's 29 years old. He signed a contract with the Raiders last year. Last April. And he participated in the offseason program and then just said goodbye. 266 receptions, 3,744 yards, 21 touchdowns, 6 seasons with the Cowboys. Again, he did tear his ACL, like I said, late in the 2021 season, and then the Cowboys signed him to the 5-year, $57.5 million deal. So that was the timeline, which is what I thought it was. Just wanted to make sure. I mean, listen, in 2022 and 2023 combined, he played in 31 games. It's not like he didn't play at all. And he had 6 combined touchdowns. 73, you know, so he can help you. Michael Gallup can. The question is for me, like, okay, he took a year off. Maybe that recharged his battery. Maybe it made him realize how much he likes playing football again. That's great. But can you count on that? I don't know, man. I mean, some guys rediscover their love, their passion, and some guys think they miss it, and then as soon as they have to start working again, they're like, yeah, not for me, dog. He's 6'1", almost 200 pounds. He's got some size. He's not like a big, big receiver, but he's not a small, diminutive type. He certainly got experience. We know this. Before the torn ACL, he was a pretty good young receiver. I think it's worth a shot if the Commanders bring him in. But, man, like, I would not be of the thought, me, that Michael Gallup is for sure part of my big three. And clearly they will bring back somebody, whether it's Noah Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, maybe both. Clearly they will do that still. But I wouldn't be counting on Michael Gallup. I've seen this story a couple of times. Dude takes a year off, you know, from football after whatever reason. He's just not feeling it. Then he misses the game. He misses the paycheck. He misses the camaraderie. But as soon as he's got to start working again, it's like, really? Do I want to be out here doing this? You know? So, and I don't know Michael Gallup at all. I'm just saying, like, just because he wants to come back, just because he took this meeting, just because he cleared whatever he had going on in his mind and his body, doesn't mean that he is a for sure, not only here and to regain his old form, but just to play again. But I don't know that. I can only just use what he did in Vegas. And then also athletes that I've been around that thought, oh, yeah, I could do this. I could push through it. I could fight through it for the paycheck, for the camaraderie. I got this. And then they realize, man, you know, practices in 94-degree heat. Them's for the birds. I'd rather be playing golf. I'd rather be playing with my kids. I'd rather be sleeping in. So that's the deal. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. So I wanted to spend a moment on that. What do you make of that? Would you be okay? I can't imagine anybody would be pissed off about that. But, you know, again, I think it's an interesting move that how many of us were expecting because he had retired. I can't say any of us were really expecting it. All right, let's do the trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so we mentioned the NFL quarterback that has a new home. He used to play for the Giants in the NFC East. He's Daniel Jones, and he's not going back to Minnesota where he supposedly loved Kevin O'Connell. And even though Sam Darnold left, he's going to Indianapolis to battle for the starting job with Anthony Richardson under Shane Steichen. And, of course, Richardson is in some trouble, certainly, for said starting job. Meanwhile, the Houston Texans have swung another deal earlier today, trading away disappointing first-round pick and guard Kenyon Green to the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles for one of their inspirational leaders and one of their best players in their defensive backfield, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. A couple of draft picks involved in that. Jonathan Allen has a new home, and it's with the Minnesota Vikings. As was reported last week, there was indeed mutual interest in Allen today visiting and signing with Kevin O'Connell and Minnesota. Again, O'Connell was an assistant here on the offensive side for Allen's first couple of years. Also, he gets a three-year deal worth up to $60 million with about $51 million in true money. Will Freeze also joining the Minnesota Vikings offensive line over from the Indianapolis Colts. He was hurt a lot of last year. A five-year, $88 million deal for Freeze and the Minnesota Vikings. Meanwhile, the Cowboys, they've been busy. They had to Javonte Williams last night. Today, they ink a three-year deal with one of their own. Special teams whiz and wide receiver Kevontae Turpin is coming back again on a three-year deal to Dallas. And that's what's trending. God, there's so many moves around the NFL. It's impossible to keep track of them all. But I just told you about a couple of them that I didn't even realize during the, you know, until the last, 10 minutes or so. AMAC, your boys signed Javon Holland. The G-Man.
Yeah.
That's a big safety acquisition.
Yeah, I was very, you know, I'm in the same boat as you. It's not like a home run, but I definitely think it solidifies problems that we had in our secondary. Also, the cornerback from the Saints.
Paulson Adebo.
Yes.
Who finally started to really kind of come into his own last year before getting hurt. I remember watching a game, and I don't remember if it was a game against the Bucs, I want to say. He was just all over the place.
Yeah.
He was really, really good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know as much about, like look. Who is the kid out of Maryland? Banks?
Yeah, right? Deontay Banks.
Deontay Banks. Yes. He sucks.
Okay. He has room for improvement, which is why we were in the position we were
right.
in. Yes.
I mean, sorry. He a Terp. He can be a Terp all he wants. He a stink. Okay. So I know this. Paulson Adebo going to help him out.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
Here's the one thing that I will say about Javon Holland. Had a little bit of a disappointing year last year. I guess he's, I guess he's barking about some sort of offer from the Vikings, and whatever. He's calling them out on a lie, whatever. I don't care about any of that stuff. Here's the bottom line. 3-year, $45 million deal. So essentially that's the Javon Kinlaw deal. $30 million guaranteed. That's right in line with the Javon Kinlaw deal, even though they're different positions. I'd rather have Javon Holland than Kinlaw, but neither here nor there. The one thing that I will say, because defense was not as big of a problem for the Giants as their offense last year, people forgot about this. Mm. Not only did Joe Shane let Saquon Barkley go.
Yeah.
You know who else he also let go in free agency?
Xavier McKinley.
Yeah. How many interceptions did that dude have in Green Bay?
I think did he lead the league? He was definitely in the top three.
At least had eight. Maybe he had nine. I have to look it up. Xavier McKinney was, in terms of that, I can't say I graded all of his tape or anything like that. I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't have to do that. But here's what I know. You start intercepting people left and right, and you're going to get notice. Now, sometimes that comes along with, see Trevion Diggs in Dallas, who had 11 interceptions 2 years ago, but got burnt every other time he didn't come up with an interception.
Exactly.
Okay? So I understand that you're going to give up some plays, and I understand that you're going to gamble a little bit, what have you. He had 8 interceptions last year.
But being a Giants fan, I will say that Xavier McKinley was a much solid defender, down in and down out, than Trevion Diggs. He was a great player. To be fair to Joe Shane, he was never 8 interceptions.
He was
never that guy. But he was definitely someone I think most Giants fans will look at and say, that's a painful one to see walk out the
door. Right, but that's my point. Is everyone talked about Saquon Barkley. Nobody almost. I mentioned it several times throughout the year. Almost nobody mentioned, hey, man, they also let one of their better defensive players go. Not their best. I mean, obviously, that's Dexter Lawrence. They let one of their better defenders go. And when you combine the fact that they spent, what was it, number 24 overall, 23 overall, I think it was, on Deontay Banks a couple years ago. When you combine that with that, now you understand why they needed to go out and sign Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland.
Mm.
Because they let McKinney go, who was, I think, a number, 18 overall pick a couple of years ago. I think it was number 18 overall out of Alabama.
He may have been second round. Let me go check.
But you're right. He may have slipped. I thought he was number 18 overall, but maybe he slipped. I mean, there's so many guys. But the point being is, the Giants, because they had to make up for the failures of Deontay Banks and letting Xavier McKinney go, had to now go out in free agency after bringing in Brian Burns last year and trading a second and a fifth to improve their pass rush. Now they have Ozeez Ojulari, who's a free agent as well. Mm. Lawrence is coming back off the injury, but he's great. I mean, they traded Leonard Williams a couple years ago. 2 years ago, was it? 3 years ago? Whatever it was. He's been pretty good for Seattle. My point being is, when you strike out on guys, when you don't hit on guys, the Commanders are going to find this out. They're kind of already finding out. When you have as many failures in the draft or allowing guys to leave that then go and have big-time careers after Saquon, Xavier McKinney, just to use an example. But when you strike out on guys in the draft, Deontay Banks.
Round 2, pick 4, by the way,
okay,
for Xavier McKinley.
Good research. For whatever reason, I thought 18th overall pick, but okay.
I mean, still a high pick, second round.
Yeah. Obviously, I was wrong. I don't know why I was wrong, but whatever. Point being is, when you have as many flameouts as Emmanuel Forbes, as Jamin Davis, as Chase Young, as everybody that the Commanders / Redskins have failed on, that this current regime couldn't resurrect and had to whack eventually, that has a trickle-down effect in so many ways, not just because the player didn't turn out to be the player that you were hoping them to be, but now you have to spend other resources to replace that player and to bolster that player's position. You see where I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Because Emmanuel Forbes was such a failure, granted, mostly that on Rivera, but Quinn's defense couldn't turn him around either. They had to go out and get Marshon Lattimore. If Emmanuel Forbes was anything sort of good, they probably wouldn't have gone and gotten Marshon Lattimore. Okay? If left tackle, I mean, I think with the Tunsil thing, that's as much of a byproduct of they didn't choose to make a trade, or even though they supposedly tried, they didn't make a trade to get back into the bottom part of the first round last year and take a shot on a Tyler Guyton or somebody like that. I'm fine with that. I'd rather trade for Laramie Tunsil a year later than trade for Tyler Guyton a year early, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
My point being is when you make trade, or when you have talent that fails,
mm-hmm.
especially either high price talent or high draft pick talent,
mm-hmm.
and they fail, it's not only the failure of the player becoming good and becoming successful and helping you out, but then it's the resources that it takes to cover up for the mistake.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not your mistake.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just, it works out that way,
mm-hmm.
right? So, I kind of look at Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland as symbolic of two mistakes that were made by the Giants. One, and Deontay Banks was a pick of this regime.
Yeah.
One of this regime, and McKinney letting him go. He was not a pick of this regime, but letting him go. And as you said, he had never had any interceptions, never had anything close. I got it. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But, I mean, the bottom line is that came back to haunt the Giants as well. That came, I mean, it, you know, he did have 5 interceptions in 2021.
Yeah.
It's not like he had never produced.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is why also teams stay bad.
Yeah.
Because it's like a continuous vicious cycle.
But I have a question, too, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, because you have on one end of the spectrum the Giants – And people from the Commanders who underperform, so now we have to get resources or spend resources in order to cover that up.
Yep.
100% correct. Also, you have teams like the Eagles and the Niners right now who are losing talent, but yep. on the flip side of that, draft extremely well. So there is still a pressure on you, maybe not to spend in free agency, but to continue drafting well. Those teams are spending in free agency too.
Yeah.
To continue drafting well in order to replace those resources, well, too.
Player procurement is still the number one. Like, people think coaching is the number one thing. No, no, no. Player procurement, talent procurement is still number one. Still number one. And it always will be. To your point, San Francisco is letting go of a bunch of their high-priced talent, right? And guys that are either disgruntled or too much money or whatever the situation is. Supposedly, if you believe this, Daddy took away the credit card from Kyle and John Lynch and said, no, we're going to cut salary. We're going to cut payroll here. Spending all this money, all these trades, all of these big fat contracts got us to win one play of the Super Bowl, but it didn't get us the Super Bowl. So Daddy's taking away the credit card, right? The Philadelphia Eagles have aggressively spent. But they have aggressively changed over their team year in, year out. I mean, think about it. They took a big shot on Mekhi Becton last year. They're probably going to lose him, but they go out and get a former first-round pick from 3 years ago in Kenyon Green, who stinks, lousy, awful, been awful. They'll resurrect him because he'll go and play between Lane Johnson and Cam Jurgens, and he'll be protected. And all of a sudden, Kenyon Green will be a good player. I don't know if he'll be great, but he'll be a good player. But they traded C.J. Gardner-Johnson for him. They also traded their backup quarterback, Kenny Pickett, to Cleveland and got DTR. Who doesn't want to be called DTR? Who stinks as well? These teams are constantly changing. But the bottom line is, it just shows you when you make a mistake, either in the draft or a trade or letting a guy go in free agency, and hopefully, like, Commanders let De'Ami Brown go. They let Cornelius Lucas go. They let Jeremy Chinn go. There'll be others that they let go. Dante Fowler, probably Cleveland Farrell, others. You hope that it doesn't come back to haunt you. You hope that it doesn't come back to haunt you. And that's why this business is a complete inexact science. It's not just the draft. It's free agency. It's trades. It's player evaluation. It's contract evaluation. It's everything. All right, we're way behind schedule. We've got to take a timeout. We will do so now. Come back, wrap up hour number two on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we got to make the quick turn for hour number three, but AMAC, Adam Schefter had this tweet scheduled, saved, what have you. I just saw it during the break. So this is about 14 minutes old. He put up just before this, and I just saw it. At 2:42 p.m. Eastern time, 1 year ago today, Saquon Barkley reached agreement on a three-year, $37.75 million deal, worth up to $46.75 million, $26 million fully guaranteed with the Philadelphia Eagles.
This hurts. This hurts, Chris.
You realize that the Commanders used to be the butt of jokes, and now the Giants are the butt of jokes.
Yeah.
They can't even get Aaron Rodgers.
And I
worked, well, maybe they can, but.
And I feel like this whole transition started when I worked, when I started working here. I think it's me. I think I'm the good luck charm. The whole organization.
Exactly, it's been good luck.
The whole organization and this radio station should thank me.
Just interesting. All right, we'll make the turn for 3 o'clock here. We've still got to get to a little Caps preview tonight in Anaheim, as well the rest of the moves around the NFL. And I want to spend some time on a bunch of the guys that they've lost and how that might impact things. So we'll do that, Chinn specifically, but also Cornelius Lucas Chinn Lucas and De'Ami Brown, which we know about, and then the guys that we presume that they're going to lose. We'll do that after the top of the hour here, plus we'll get back to your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.